and sudden stops, and since the friction coefficient between your wheels on your car and the highway may be reduced, the sudden stop may occur as you impact the vehicle in front of you. So I just basically, if you don't have to go to Austin today, I suggest you don't. If you think you just like to go to Austin today, I still suggest you don't. Now, if you wait later in the day, it's supposed to warm up a little bit, and things will probably eventually melt off down in Jarrell, and Jarrell will come in out of the cold, then you can go down there. But it's definitely some weather out there, and the traffic's moving slowly, and that makes for interesting stuff, which, by the way, leads us into our economic stuff. Again, if you want to call in here and ask questions or make comments or something about anything to do with the economy, because that's where we kind of focus, investing in said economy or somebody else's economy or something, or investing or financial in nature, again, the telephone number is 773-1400 locally or
1-866-597-1400 anywhere else.
In the sound of his voice.
Or your voice.
Well,
our voices collectively.
Really, yeah, one of those voices. I was looking up the definition of the word voice the other day and spent about an hour on that.
We're nerds.
We are.
That is the definition of a nerd, that you can look up the definition of another word and spend an hour being entranced by it.
I was just absolutely fascinated by all the variants of the current meaning, and then going back in history to find out the previous meanings and the root meanings that it came from. It's mm-hmm. pretty neat.
You know, the word vocation mm-hmm. and the word profession all come from a vocalization, to profess something or mm-hmm. to vocalize
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
This is what I
exactly.
am or what I do.
Fascinating term. Roughly, voice, for whatever it's worth, comes from the same root in Latin, meaning word, that the word weird in the Germanic languages comes from, where we get word. So voice and word are fundamentally the same term, which I thought was pretty interesting. Anyway, that's it. Let's see. What else? What happened this week? Anything?
Well, we have to give a disclosure. I think we've got a
Yeah, the right
number.
To remain silent. Anything
no,
you say
one.
Can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. There was one on the previous show.
Oh, well, if I have those rights, then I might as well not use them.
Okay.
So I will not be silent, and I will not bring in my attorney at
But
this
the
point.
Opposite of a right is a...
Left.
Wrong.
I would say a left.
A left. So you're leftist now. So you think left is wrong?
Almost by definition, the opposite of right is both left and wrong.
That's pretty interesting.
All right. So we are the Personal Wealth Coach, and not coincidentally, that's the name of an SEC-registered investment advisory firm out of Salado, Texas.
We're definitely out of Salado right now.
Right now we are in Temple in a studio, so we are out of Salado, Texas. So you were saying what happened this week?
In the markets, nothing.
Not a whole lot in the markets.
The markets rose up, hit a new high, then drifted back south again just a little bit, and closed out the week with much less than a 1% change, and it was slightly negative unless you consider the overall extended effect of dividends, in which case the markets did nothing.
Right.
Okay, now we can go home.
No, we can't.
We can't.
No, we got a few other minor things that have kind of avoided most of the news.
The Nets were determined to be neutral.
Yes, that is a big one. That is a huge one.
I thought you would get really excited about that and want to talk about that for about at least 2 hours.
I don't think I'll do quite 2 hours.
Oh, okay. But
there are a lot of people that saying this is the government trying to regulate the internet.
It is.
And I'm saying, well, that's what the FCC has been doing all along.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people think this is new.
Even before that.
Right. This isn't new. This is just to mm-hmm. just to calm all your minds out there. What has been put forth as a rule now?
You think there's minds out there to be calmed?
Oh, probably not.
That presumes someone's listening.
Mothers have said to mind for so long. It's just very difficult.
My mother said, "I never mind." Yes.
The FCC passed the net neutrality rules, mm-hmm. And this is in response to some court action as well as a lot of confusion. The reason why I say it's not new is because this is the way the net's been governed from the beginning. There are some differences here in that it's being codified, and that it's in line now with legality, and that there's actually words written on paper that say this is what's going on. You were going to say something.
The Texas Railroad Commission and the Interstate Commerce Commission exist because the previous major form of communication, when we had a huge technological revolution in the United States, wasn't the telephone or the radio.
No.
It was the railroad.
The railroad and the telegraph that followed it.
And the reason we had in the state of Texas, we still regulate the heck out of the railroads. We have an entire commission to do nothing but regulate railroads. Why? Because generally speaking, into a given town, there was one railroad track, one railroad carrier. There wasn't any competition.
Nope, monopoly.
And that railroad carrier could, if they decided to, they didn't like, you know, if somebody came to, say your competitor went to them and said, I want you to ship our stuff at this rate, but I want you to charge higher to our competitors to put them out of business so we'll get a monopoly.
Correct.
And believe it or not, that's how railroad barons made a lot of money, and they fought the Interstate Commerce Commission and the Interstate Commerce Act.
And the Texas Act.
And even in Texas, within the state of Texas, people were doing that. It wasn't governed by the Interstate Commerce Commission. So we set up the Texas Railroad Commission to say, railroads, you have to charge the same rates for the same goods and the same services to everyone.
The reason for this it sounds like it's anti-capitalism to put fixed prices and say you must do this. Well, first off, the government doesn't say what you charge. It just says you have to charge equally.
Mm-hmm.
And second, the government's the reason why the railroads had that line in that we have to seize property from private individuals
and give it to a company.
And give it to a private corporation. Now, that's happened.
Well, that's, he's a public corporation, but that's close enough.
Right. And it's called eminent domain. It's a portion of the Constitution that says the United States or a government can seize assets of private citizens, but they have to be compensated, which is very different from most countries.
Fairly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then that property can be given according to that local or state or federal government to a private organization. Now, that could cause some problems. It needs to be in the greater good of the area. But when it comes to a railroad, you don't want to have 8 railroad lines running across within miles of each other, because that causes everybody in the vicinity to not have property. So the government said, let's do one railroad line through this town. And that means that somebody's got a monopoly, because a private organization has to do the upkeep on that railroad line. Mm-hmm. And that private organization, by its very nature, wants to make a bigger profit. That's what private organizations want to do. This is a great thing, except when there's no competition allowed. Then it's a monopoly. And the FCC's net neutrality rules come as a direct response to a judge's order and a separate judge's order saying the opposite thing. One judge,
yes.
One judge said to a bunch of basically large telecom companies that you're perfectly capable of not allowing a new telecom company to come in and use your wires for broadband. And that was struck down by a higher court that said, no, wait a minute, you got those wires. Just like, and this is based on the Telecom Act, 1996, mm-hmm. The Telecom Act came out. And so the judges are following this act saying you can't knock out the competition because what you have that you're competing with was basically given to you by the government. You can't push them out. You are a monopoly. Mm-hmm. You can't put tolls on specific companies for crossing the wires that you have, and not for other companies for crossing the wires that you have. And that's what this
sending
information through it.
Yeah, sending information across. Yeah,
and that is really what the FCC put in writing, because the rules were already there. They were there from court orders, and they were there from the Telecom Act. There were several pieces of law that were introduced that were trying to have private corporations be charged different rates for different corporations for going across the same wire. And those were collectively called SOPA and PIPA, and they were stopped collectively by the major organizations of the internet, Google, Netflix, Yahoo, Facebook, all, if you recall, did this big blank page for one day of saying, hey, don't do this, you will shut down the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So what the FCC has done here, contrary to what the extreme right wing is saying and contrary to what the extreme left wing is saying, is not writing a new rule book for the internet. It's putting the rules for the internet that already existed into writing so that people can actually follow them correctly.
This is both political and economic.
Yeah.
What I'm about to say. And I don't completely get it. Well, I do in a sense. A series of uniformly Republican, uniformly rather far to the right congresspersons have come out lambasting the FCC for the net neutrality act, for net neutrality rules, which are based on the law,
mm-hmm.
and saying that they're going that the cable companies invested in putting in infrastructure, and now they can't charge inequality. They have to be subject to the commission, and they can't be unfair. And
right.
They should be able to have free enterprise and charge whoever whatever they want to. Now,
right.
Here's the issue. The same voices, that's another term we were using.
Voices, yes, voices.
Are threatening to shut down the whatever, specifically Homeland Security, which really wouldn't be a shutdown, just be a lot of people not getting paid because they're all vital and they have to come to work without getting paid.
I think we avoided that last night.
1 week.
Right.
And I think we're going to avoid it because the votes aren't there. But here's the point. They're making noises, and this is, I know most of our listeners are Republicans and conservatives, but this is my suggestion. I don't know if our little group of people has the ability to influence this or not, but this is
they're voters.
Younger people in the United States are vastly in favor of net neutrality.
Right.
Hispanics and younger people today will make up the vast, vast majority of voters in about 10 years.
Yeah.
And I just look at what's going on in Congress and in the Republican Party, and I have been a Republican for more years than many of our listeners have been alive. And I'm just telling you, it's like a suicide pact. It's what the Democrats did in the 1960s when they went too far to the left.
Well, when we had this last election, mm-hmm. we talked about this. This is one of the greatest advantages and the greatest potential weaknesses of the Republican Party is they've just won majority in the House and the Senate. And now it's theirs to lose. If they mess up here, and it's very likely that they will, if they listen to the extremists in the party instead of coming to the center, they're going to lose the majority. And they're going to lose the presidency next time around because it's the Republicans to lose right now. Obama's approval rating is through the floor. If you look at the polls,
although it's been rising,
it has been rising
since the midterms.
Yeah, if you look at what's happened that causes it to rise, it looks like Congress is the greatest benefit to the current president.
It is so ironic. It's as if the more right wing members of the House of Representatives. I know they don't. They don't want to blow up the Republican Party. But when asked why they are being so far to the right, by the way, the guy who was kind of the lead spokesman had an op-ed in the mm-hmm. in the Wall Street Journal, the congressman. And if you look at who contributed to his campaign, never mind.
Yeah, that's not.
Cable companies had a great deal of contributions. Right.
Well, if you go back to when George W. Bush was president, the last part of his presidency, and the Democrats have just taken over the House and the Senate, and he was struggling uphill against it.
They didn't take over the House, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah, they did, right.
No, it was taken back.
It was at the beginning of the Obama administration they took over the House.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. So what was said in the Senate was that their job for the next 2 years was simply to keep a Republican out of the presidency. And it was said similarly by Republicans. So Democrats said that during Bush's administration, and Republicans have said that during the Obama administration. And I'm all for competition in our political parties. But as soon as the strategy becomes, let's make America fail so that the party that's not in power can get elected, that's not patriotism anymore. That's not good competition. That's hurting ourselves so that somebody can get more popular, and that's bullying. If you see somebody at school that's knocking other people down just so that they can look taller, that's what's going on. Net neutrality is not, again, a new thing. The Telecom Act was passed because exactly what we're talking about was going on with telephone companies and with cable companies. There were monopolies that owned the rights to the lines going into certain places. Those rights were given to them by the United States government. They were the government was compensated because they compensated private citizens. But when, if for instance, you got to go to a house and say, I am going to buy this house whether you want to sell it to me or not, and I'm going to do something with it, and I'm not going to consult anybody in the vicinity. That's kind of why we have the Constitution, to prevent that exact thing. If we give too much power to a corporation or too much power to a government, we've gone too far. If, and this is a great example, until very recently, the state of Texas, if you wanted to get electricity, you had to get it from the one provider. Texas was the leader in saying we're deregulating the one-provider model. But the only way they could do that is using existing lines. Those existing lines were invested in by the electric company that built them. And they had to be compensated for the use of them by their competition. But when we look at prices now, competition came because of the deregulation that we wouldn't have had there been lots. I mean, you don't want to have 9 electrical lines coming to your house, each one owned by a different entity, because they're all going to go across people's properties. That easement is something that's granted by a government. And the same is true when we're talking about the internet. When a municipality, and there are a lot of municipalities, that said, our city will have an internet service provider that's owned by the city. And if you think of electric power, Austin Utilities, Austin Electric, used to be monopoly. It's slowly being still deregulated. There's possible to have competition there, but it's owned by the city. So if you live there, the city gets to set your rates. And that's what was going on with these municipalities that were refusing new internet service providers the ability to come in. What net neutrality does is it allows the small company to compete with the large company using free services that were given to them by the government. If the government's going to give free services and they're only going to be concentrated in the large corporations, then we have no competition. That is communism. Net neutrality is anti-communism. And it just cracks me up that the far right wing are the ones that are protesting against a move that is de-communizing a set of rules.
Well, we got to do some commercials. You're listening to Russ Coach, Personal Wealth Coach, and I know Jake really would like to talk about this subject for 2 hours.
Oh, but we're actually going to talk about.
Oh, okay. We are actually going to move on to things about the economy and something other than his passionate neutral net position. So if you're ever in a net with Jake, you will know that he's neutral.
Yes. And if there are fish in there with us, then we shall dine on neutral fish.
Neutral fish. Gotcha. Well, we're going to break for some commercials so that Town Square can continue to fund KTEM News Radio 14, whatever this is. Anyway, we'll be back after these important words from Town Square's sponsors.
For all your HVAC needs, All Air Inc. is...
And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And you can hear the cats dancing on the snare drums in the background as they howl and squall and all kinds of interesting things. This is the Personal Wealth Coach, and the telephone number in here if you'd like to call and discuss anything economic, or I know that that's really exciting for all of you, or to do with investing or things of that ilk, 773-1400 is the local number, or
1-866-597-1400 anywhere else within the sounds of our voices.
And as I said earlier, the U.S. indices, the United States stock market indices, or indexes, if you care to pluralize it that way, didn't do diddly squat this past week.
Well, they did diddly squat. They just did a lot of canceling out of the diddly squat that they did.
Well, yeah. And to give you some idea, the Dow Jones Industrial Average year-to-date at the end of the second month of the year is up 1.74%. Woo! The S&P 500 up 2.21%. Weekly, they both were down a tiny fraction of a percent. Now, this is interesting, though, and which is why we like diversification. Generally speaking, the foreign indices, and there's a lot of them, were up substantially last week, which was so contrary to any economic logic, because at the same time as their stock markets rose, it became ever more clear that their economic prospects are more dire.
Yeah.
Japan may be slipping back into deflation. The Greeks announced that they may not meet the IMF payment schedule because they don't have any money. Whether they're bluffing, nobody knows at this point. The IMF and the Germans are saying the Greeks are not imposing all of the belt tightening and fiscal restraint that they're supposed to do. Meanwhile, the Greek prime minister assured all the pension drawers in Greece, which is probably the majority of people at this point. I'm just kidding, but still, the majority of families in Greece apparently have somebody who's receiving a check from the government at this point, and they're living on that, assured them that they won't be cut. They are going to continue to give euros to members of Greek society, and they said, your pensions won't be cut. But this is where the announcement came, by the way, a speech to the public where the prime minister of Greece said, we will pay you. We may not pay the IMF.
Yeah.
And that made him very, very popular. And
which, again, we don't know if that was him bluffing, if that was him giving the same kind of promise that got him elected, because what he got elected for was that he would not renegotiate any new rules with the IMF, which he promptly did. So,
well, now, it's actually with the EU that he, or with the
Eurozone. Eurozone, IMF, the Eurozone is actually helping with the IMF's renegotiation.
By the way, I found our Greece. It really isn't Mississippi. I was thinking it was Mississippi. It's not Mississippi. It's Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Well, yes, that is correct.
Because unlike Mississippi, they tried leaving the Union once and
it didn't work.
That didn't work out.
But Puerto Rico can actually leave
right.
If they decide. If they vote all together and
right.
say we're out of here, they can do it.
But we have elected to keep Puerto Rico in the Union. We consider it sort of. It's a commonwealth. It's not quite a member of the United States, but its citizens are citizens of
and
the
they
United
can vote.
States.
They do get to vote.
And I was looking at this. This is a fascinating thing. What's going on there and what's going on in Greece is almost identical, except it's not causing a crisis.
Right.
Their population is shrinking because they're leaving and coming to the mainland where
right.
they can actually get a job. Their banks, one at a time,
are failing.
We just, the FDIC just had to cough up, I think, $7.87 billion.
Oh, that's all. No,
to cover
no biggie.
A bank that just failed, and they've had a series of banks fail. This is the largest bank failure since 2010, just occurred in Puerto Rico. And the FDIC stepped in. It's Doral Bank, D-O-R-A-L, which maybe has something to do with the cigarettes. I don't know.
If you look back at the CDs that were being issued in the last few years, the ones that were people were touting is, look at the interest rate on these things, these yeah. Puerto Rican CDs that are paying 3% and 5%. Wow. Well, this is why, because they yeah. were running out of money.
And this is a thing to be aware of. You think, oh, well, I'm not stupid enough to get a CD in a Puerto Rican bank. Well,
maybe you were and didn't even know
it.
It
was really one of the analysis issues, and I looked it up, and apparently it seems to make sense. Is there are a lot of funds, pension funds, trust funds, this is, that's, and the others,
that said,
invested in Puerto Rican municipal bonds.
Yep. So this is what I mean about maybe you were invested and you didn't even know. Your
yep.
pension fund may have had somebody in the management go, well, let's just find the best interest rate over here.
And
instead of understanding that those interest rates being best were because the risk was highest.
But this is one of those assumptions that investment managers sometimes make and brokers make commonly. Because I know that brokers have often offered these Puerto Rican municipal bonds. And they say something to the effect of, you know, the United States will not let Puerto Rico, a Commonwealth state, weird, a member of the Commonwealth with the United States, will certainly not let them fail.
That's the same thing they said about Fannie and Freddie. And you're mm-hmm. right. Yeah, the government didn't let Fannie or Freddie fail. They just let all the shareholders and
right.
bondholders lose all their money.
Well, my point is that everybody assumed that the state of Michigan would bail out Detroit, too.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
And it didn't. And if you happen to be a municipal bondholder in Detroit, you were
Whoops.
Left holding the bag. And right now, you can get some really, really high interest rates on Puerto Rican municipal bonds.
Yeah, I can also sell you a really nice bridge if you're interested.
No, you can't.
I will sell it. It is a bridge. It's just written out on sheet music, but it is a bridge. And I will sell it to you
over,
in the desert.
Over troubled water?
Well, that too. I mean, the bridge is part of a song, so we can...
Oh,
I'll
okay.
sell
but
that.
You'll sell it for a song.
I'll sell it for a song.
Okay. Now the
municipal bonds that have high interest rates are high interest for a reason.
Yeah.
The high interest means that they can't get debt at low interest. It's just like you. If you have a choice between
can't borrow money at low interest.
Right. If you've got two credit cards and one's going to charge you 19.96% and one's going to charge you 1%, which one are you going to use? If you've got the option to go with a lower interest rate, you're going to use it. And a municipality, while local government is not known for its genius, they're not that dumb either. So they're not going to give you high interest out of the goodness of their heart. There's a risk involved.
And so I guess there's a lesson here, and it's one that we have repeated over the years again and again and again. And that is, if you have something that's paying you a high interest rate, higher than treasuries, higher than a bank CD, there's a risk. Now,
the fact is that with municipalities, if they're paying higher than U.S. federal treasuries, and you get the federal tax write-off mm-hmm. of not having to pay income taxes on the interest, typically... Historically, municipal bonds have had a lower interest rate than treasuries because you didn't have to pay taxes on it. That's part of the reason why the municipalities had them, so they could lower the interest rate and still be competitive with a corporation or with the U.S. Treasury. Well, now the interest rates in municipalities are actually higher across the board than U.S. Treasuries for the same time period. That's a problem.
And it's just something to be aware of, that anyone who offers you a high rate of return or high interest rate while claiming low risk.
It's kind of like Putin saying, we will find the man who murdered this Nemtsov, because he couldn't have been
right.
me. It's the same thing.
But the point is that this is not get rid of the risk. You can't afford to get rid of the risk unless you have so much money you don't need to earn anything on it. I mean, effectively, a bank CD pays you nothing right now
right.
and has no risk. No pay, no risk. That makes sense.
That's kind of nice.
If you have a portfolio, a balanced investment portfolio, and it has an expected return of something 7%, 6%, 8%, whatever, down the road, there's risk involved, and hopefully you understand the risk and then the risk can be taken care of. The risk can be managed. Now, if somebody has offered you, and believe me, people do this pretty routinely, something that says you get the return of the stock market but no risk, they are either lying to you or they don't understand what they're talking about, because there's always risk. And the most dangerous risk to an investment portfolio is the one that's hidden, the one that the salesman claims is not there. And that's the one that so often bites people so hard that it breaks them. And that's just something, the risk involved in mortgage collateralized bonds, collateralized mortgage obligations, we now see them as dirty words and bad things, but they were AAA rated and in some cases insured, and they were sold in the early 2000s as relatively good interest rates with no risk. Banks bought them, pension funds bought them, insurance companies bought them, and bought them wholesale. Individuals bought them. And they said, no risk, high interest. And obviously the resulting collapse nearly took down the world economic system altogether. And yet, people, I don't think most people got the message. The message is there's always risk. At any return above zero, there's always risk. The issue is to understand the risk. Just like there's a risk, by the way, this is one of the things we try to tell people about. There is a risk with too low a return.
Yeah.
And the risk is if you're going to use that money, for instance, in income in retirement, and your return is too low because you've considered yourselves to be very conservative, you run the risk of running out of money while you're still alive. You run a higher, the lower the growth rate, the higher the risk you have of eventually going broke. The higher the growth rate, to a certain point, the greater the risk of short-term variance, the short-term market dips. And it's really so critical to understand risk, and I think a lot of people don't understand it. They believe somewhere mythologically, because salesmen have told them that that it is possible to have return without risk. There was even a book that was published years ago. What was it? Return without risk.
It's like, yeah, anyway, wealth without risk.
That was it. And by the way, the guy who published that book, the guy who paid to have it published, and who was the author of the book, had been permanently barred from the securities industry for fraud. And, of course, he published the book, Wealth Without Risk. By the way, you haven't heard of him lately because he got sued so many times that he took his money and ran off someplace. Because, very frankly, he was advising doing some things. It was 800 numbers all through the book. You called the 800 number. You did what he told you to do, and in the short term, it looked like you were making money, but when you actually wanted to take the money out and spend it and live on it, it wasn't there. Which, by the way, also is going on in other places, including some precious metals dealers. So these are all anywhere where you see somebody that wants to be secretive, that wants to promise you wealth without risk, says they have a secret deal and they can keep you anonymous. Any of those things are red flags. And those are really good ways to lose all your money. So 2 cents worth from a guy who went around and blocked a couple of times that today.
Yeah. I made a reference a moment ago to Russia.
Yes, you did.
And
where the leader of the opposition, who was about to lead an anti-Putin march.
An anti-Ukrainian war, anti-Putin march, where he was basically about to give a speech saying that Putin had set up the whole Ukrainian fiasco and that he was behind the whole thing with puppet strings. He said last week that he suspected that Putin would try to kill him in the next 2 weeks.
And he was dead.
He was murdered within sight of the Kremlin. And let me make some things pretty clear there. The area
like
around the Kremlin
on the grounds of the White House.
Yeah, the area around the Kremlin is so well patrolled, so well videoed. If anybody that's ever watched the dashboard cams of people in Russia knows, you know, you just go on YouTube, do Russian dashboard cam, and you will have more video available to you than has ever been. You know, I mean, there's just no way you're going to be able to watch any, even a very tiny percent of it. It's more than that around the Kremlin. If you can see the Kremlin, then there are snipers that are watching you. There's no traffic in that area. The cars that go into the area are watched. And a car came driving up behind a man walking on the bridge. This is a no-driving area. A couple of guys got out of the car and shot this man, got in the car, and drove away. It was an unmarked white vehicle. And unlike the United States, where unmarked black vehicles are generally the government organization, in Russia, it's an unmarked white vehicle that's generally a government organization.
They have a lot of snow on the ground, so white is easier to hide
things.
Right.
So this is like Putin saying, no, we weren't involved in the taking of Crimea. The people that did that for themselves, and we just gave them a bunch of medals and promotions when they did it. And he's saying, this guy was murdered, and I'll get to the bottom of this. We will find his killers, and they will get what's coming to them. And
well, they'll probably find them and pay them a lot of money.
Well, he'll probably find him in his mirror today and give himself a good shaving or something, because that's what's coming to him.
Well, it's funny. There have been five people, prominent people, assassinated in Moscow.
Yeah.
All five of them were either on the verge of or had just done something that embarrassed Putin.
Right. And those nasty evildoers that did it have not been brought to justice on any of those cases.
They've been unable to find.
Can't find these people.
In the most secure, low crime rate, low violent crime rate,
yeah,
where owning a gun is blatantly illegal, and every vehicle and every person that moves anywhere is captured on camera. That's why there have been no terrorist attacks in Moscow, despite the fact that
they've been terrorists for a very long
Chechnya
time.
Have hit all over the rest of the country. They don't hit around the Kremlin because the security is so tight. So, and the reason we bring this up.
And let me say, the security was extra tight before the march. Okay, so the guy that was going to lead the march is under scrutiny. This is not something that should be a shock to anyone. If there is an announced march that is anti-Putin, anti-war, that man was followed everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, there were armed people watching him.
And he's out on a walk.
And armed people got out of a car and killed him, and then they left, and nobody saw who did it. Nobody, it was some white car. Nobody knows what's going on. Come on. This is, you know, if it weren't Putin, if this happened in the United States, a prominent detractor from the president was murdered
Rush Limbaugh was murdered on the White House grounds.
Right. That's what we're talking about here. And
we have a call.
Who has the motive? Anyway. All right. We've got a caller on 773-1400.
And you're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach, and you just got a few seconds. Go ahead.
Caller?
Hello. Caller.
Hello. You said hello? We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can. Hey, long-time listener. I think I'm right, but I think in one of your previous shows you said that the stock market typically does better under a Democratic president than a Republican.
Yeah.
If that's
the
case, can you explain that? I'll hang up and listen.
Sure.
Okay, but we got to do commercials first.
Yeah. Well, that's one that I can probably answer relatively quickly. And this is not something that's just opinion. Really, really quickly, if you look back over history, Democrats as president tend to make the stock market go up. It isn't really them. It's the way people feel. When there's a Democrat in office, he tells people what they want to hear. Now, long-term, the benefits to the economy are generally the reverse. Long-term benefits to the economy generally come under a Republican president that they don't get credit for, because the long-term benefit comes after their term. Anyway.
Well, we got to do some commercials. We'll talk about this a little more on the other side. You are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and we'll be back after these important words from Town Square's sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And the telephone number is near 773-1400 if you're in East Bell County. Otherwise,
1-866-597-1400 anywhere else.
I wanted to make another comment about this. Democrats' market goes up, Republicans' market goes down. But we have a telephone call on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Sorry to not be flippant about the fellow's death in Russia and Putin's response, but I just couldn't help think about the scene in Casablanca where Major Strasser has been shot, and they say, round up the usual suspects.
That's it. You got it.
There you go.
You hit it right on the head. And I've said all along that somebody getting killed, if this is World War One coming, somebody getting assassinated.
That's what sparked it off.
Will start the cards falling. Well, so.
See, what happened in World War One, though, is that the wrong person got assassinated. It wasn't a government power that assassinated him. It was a crazy person. The crazy person coming in and assassinating thing causes governments to get upset. But when a government does it, they just go, oh, you better find that killer.
The whole issue is when you've had, by the way, for whatever it's worth, Putin is the conservative over there. The guy who got assassinated was the liberal.
He was the assistant prime minister under Yeltsin, was known for his democratic reforms of the economy and of voting.
And each level of assassination moves up a notch. And this is the first person who's openly been elected to political office that was assassinated. And he, by the way, held a political office when he was assassinated. And I'm not at all convinced, by the way, that Putin assassinated him. I think forces loyal to Putin probably decided to assassinate him, and Putin and the security forces turned and looked the other way while they did it. I seriously doubt that he ordered it because he's not that stupid. The point is, as we proceed down this line, you will see that this, if you go study history in prior to World War One, exactly the same thing was going on in the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah, the most recent head of MI6, which is roughly equivalent to the thing that's in charge of the NSA, we're almost done here, said that we need to stop treating Russia like it's becoming a democracy. And that is...
like it's becoming a failed democracy.
Well, we need to start treating it like it's becoming a failed democracy. Stop treating it like it's becoming a democracy, because it's not. It's going the opposite direction. We're about out of time. We'll be back next hour with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. But if you'd like to contact us off the air, you can call us voicemail 947-1111, or you can reach that toll-free 1-800-914-7526. That's 1-800-914-PLAN. That's voicemail during the weekend, live person during the week. If you'd like to email us, it's jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com or tpwc.com. We've got podcasts. We've got our philosophy up there and all of our contact information. So,
and until next hour, this has been The Personal Wealth Coach.
News Radio 1400 KTEM. Serving Central Texas, KTEM AM, Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.